Welcome to episode 7, Breaking Down the Bid. Our last episode, we talked about the entire bidding process. This one, we want to deep dive and see where you're really going to make your money on all of these bids. Brandon, where do we start?
All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're just going to take a very simplified version of a bid. We'll break it down just for one room, and then we'll be able to see potentially how much money we can make.
Sounds good.
If we remember last week, I had made a chart and I showed how I broke down each room and so how I knew how long it should take. So we're just going to take a very simplified version of this. We notice we have just one bedroom. I have 2 hours for prep and cleanup, 2 hours for labor, 2 hours, or I'm sorry, 2 gallons for material, right? And this is what the average painter takes to be able to do these types of projects. So we're going to try to just keep math very simple. We can very easily add this together, and we see that we have a total of 4 hours. Now, again, simple math. You'll have to adjust this for your area. But let's just say that we are going to be making, or our shop rate is $50 an hour. We have 50 times 4, that equals $200. So we know that that is the labor rate. Now, we look at the material. Let's just say this material is something, again, for simple math, that retails for $50 a gallon, right? Let's just pretend that, but we get it for 30 or 35. Now, we're gonna charge them 50 for a couple of reasons. A, it's easy math, right? But B, then it keeps our numbers in line with what we charge for our labor costs. So we got 2 gallons, times $50 a gallon. Obviously, we know that's $100, right? So as we take both of these and we put it together, we see that this bedroom is going to cost $300 to paint.
That makes sense. And the nice thing about this simple number right here, when we talk about where you can make money, you've already got, if you say you're getting that paint for $35 a gallon, you're selling it to the homeowner for $50 a gallon, that's $15 a gallon right there in your pocket. Works out to be $30 already profit in your pocket.
Exactly. So we have our $30 profit. Now, we make money 3 ways here, right? We make money with our shop rate. So that's something that everybody knows. I charge X amount of dollars per hour. And we know our shop rate is here $50 an hour, right? We make money when we charge for material. Now, we just talked about that, Chris. You so beautifully pointed that out, that as of right now, we are plus $30 for profit. The third way that we make money on every job is through efficiency, right? Is getting the job done faster than what we bid it for. So we see here that we bid the job for 4 man hours, but what if, let's say, what if we did it in 3 hours? So we just basically gained an entire hour. We will go over here, we have profit, right? So we go over here, so we got the 1 hour is $50. We already talked about the profit for the material. So we know that that's $30, right? So that's $30. And now the other thing too, is let's just say we're painting the whole house and this color is going to be used elsewhere, right? So this color is going to be used elsewhere. And we did this bedroom in 1.5 gallons. Now we think about that. I just gained 0.5 gallon of material. So that gallon I charged $50 for, now we're going to add 25. So we look at this one bedroom and we have 105 extra dollars sitting there, right? $105, which that's pretty good. Extra, we're talking extra. That's pretty good for essentially one job. You know, the reality is there's a lot of costs that come out of this particular $105. Just to name a few, Chris, you know, you can feel free to add couple. Of course, we have our tape, right? There's plastic. There's other things, right? There's other things that need to be added, you know, your drop cloths, whatever. But other things that we need to consider. I did go and bid this job, right? So I took my time, my energies, my gas. I came here, I bid the job. That took me an hour, hour and a half by the time all was said and done. And you have your insurances, you have your fuel. So we can see where this particular $105 gets eaten into very quickly. I mean, realistically, if we think about all of this stuff that we're going to take out of it, you could easily knock 25, 30, or even more dollars off of this. So maybe your potential profit for this particular project is $60 for that particular room. See, that's not an unreasonable amount.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, you've got to cover all those extra costs, that those unseen costs, those overhead costs that you have just from generally running a business, so that you can, anything that comes up, you've got that little bit of extra cushion built in. And that's what the profit is for, is to build in that extra profit margin so that you can cover any ancillary cost that comes up. Say you're on your way to the job site and the bucket of paint spills in the back of your vehicle. Well, guess what? That's a $50 gallon of paint. You got it for $35. You got $15 built in to go, so you can go back to the paint store and then come back to the job site. Because you can't go to the homeowner and be like, well, a gallon of paint exploded in the back of my vehicle, so I'm going to have to charge you for another gallon of paint. They're going to laugh at you.
And then fire you, probably.
Probably.
You do that to your van, what are you going to do to my house, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you've got to cover all these little ancillary costs. You mentioned, Brandon, getting the job done quicker. So like that job, you had a bid for 4 hours, but you know you can do it in three. Well, why wouldn't you just bid it at 3 hours? And then, you know, so then you're more likely to get the job because you'd be more competitive on your rate.
Well, and that's a really good question. I think this is the part where a lot of painters fail, is there's very few jobs that are completely about speed, right? We talked professional athletes. That's where speed is key, right? As far as someone in the trades, you want someone to work efficiently, right? You want them to be efficient. You want them to do a good job. But the reality is, I should not have to go 1,000 miles an hour to be able to make money, right? The other thing is I should not get dinged or lose money because I'm faster than you. Like, if you think about it, if you and I have the same shop rate and you're slower than me, and you bid it for 4 hours and I bid it for 3 hours, why should you make more money than me when you're less efficient? It doesn't make sense. So like these numbers, I know for my area, that's what the average painter takes. Why would I want to then leave money on the table?
That makes sense to me. And I always like it, if somebody tells me that it's going to take 4 hours and all of a sudden they're done in 3 hours, I look at that and go, cool, I just gained an hour of my own personal time as the customer. And as, you know, the homeowner, then you're out of their house that much quicker. And also, this gives you, again, that padding. So you know you can get done at three. Well, guess what? Now you've got an hour to play with that you can take the extra time to be better at your trade, to be, you know, do a better paint job. Or if something happens, you've got that extra cushion, because everybody's lives are always hectic. So if something comes up, I got to take 10 minutes and deal with a family emergency on my phone or something like that, or just, you know, random phone calls. You can take that time and still know you're putting out quality work and still giving the homeowner what they need and still making all that profit margin yourself. And not, like you said, then you're not running like a chicken with your head cut off to get these jobs done.
Yeah, you should not have to burn yourself out to be able to make a living. With that being said, everything's balanced, right? You need to work efficiently. You need to be smart about what you do, but I shouldn't have to run everywhere. I shouldn't have to. The homeowner, as much as they might appreciate you moving fast, they don't want to see you running in their house for the same reason they don't want to see their three-year-old running in the house, because you're going to break something. They do want to see an efficiency of movement is what they want to see. As far as myself, I need to see myself make money and be happy with that. That's what we need.
And this is one of those things that, you know, we've talked about charging for paint, that it's all up in flux. You know, some people love it, some people are against it. That's another debate. If you're an efficient painter, you bid it for 4 hours and you can get it done in three, if you're concerned about that at the end of the day, you can give money back to the homeowner. You can take that $50 off your bid at the end of the day. That's a personal choice of, hey, I got it done quicker, so I'm going to do this homeowner a solid and cut 50 bucks off my bid because that's my shop rate. Those are all things that you can do because it's your business, but it's a for-profit industry. So in my opinion, I put that money in my pocket. I move on to the next job to make more money.
Exactly. I feel that's what you have to do. You have to take your wins when you can, because the next job, you might underbid it. Something might catastrophically go wrong. You can't necessarily, let's just say you have your sprayer and a hose blew, and all of a sudden paint is going everywhere, right? That might be a lot of time. At best, you have to clean up. At the very best, you have to clean up. Hopefully you had everything masked off nicely, but let's just say something wasn't masked off, because the paint will always find the one spot. Now you might have to hire a carpet cleaner, or you might have to do something else. Well, where does that money come from? Can you go to the homeowner and say, hey, my hose blew, I got paint all over your carpet, so I'm going to charge you extra so that I can pay for the carpet cleaning. They're going to look at you like you're insane. But if you take your wins when you can, that helps to alleviate some of the losses.
And these profits that we're talking about, these are the things that you take and you roll right back into your business. Because like we talked about in an earlier episode, you should be paying yourself anyway. So you should be getting that your shop rate is 50 bucks an hour and you're the only painter. You should be paying yourself that. That's what you make as a salary, quote unquote. And this other stuff that's profit, that is what goes back into your business. That's your rainy day fund to cover, again, any of those ancillary accidents or costs that come up. And if you don't believe it happens, go back and watch some of our other videos that we've talked about. We have a lot of fun with them. That stuff happens, and I'm sorry, it sucks when it does, but you've got to pay for that as the business owner. You can't expect the homeowner to pay for it. Granted, if the homeowner walks through the room and kicks over a bucket of paint, that's on them, and then you can charge them for it. But if you just kick that over in the middle of their living room, that's on you. You've got to take care of that, and that money's got to come from somewhere. If it doesn't come out of your profits, that comes out of your bottom line and your pocket.
Exactly. A lot of times guys look at profit, like let's just take that $100 that we had just referenced, like, oh, cool. And they take that $100 and they blow it, right? It's gone. But like you said, the profit belongs to the business. Now, in future episodes, we'll talk about how you as the owner can take some of that profit and use it. But technically, that profit is not yours. So that profit goes to the business. You can then use that money to buy things in bulk to get your prices cheaper. You can use it to buy new tools. You can use it to take care of other aspects, whether it could be an accountant or you know, whatever. You know, you need a new truck, you need new tools or ladders or whatever. See, all these things come out of that money. So little by little, you need to build that nest egg. That doesn't get built typically thousands of dollars at a time. It's the $60, $80, $100 that we just talked about. And that's where that money comes from.
You're 100% right. And you've got to build that over time. And that's how you grow your business, which again, we're going to talk about in some future episodes about how to, you know, set those goals and go forward with that. But if you don't have that money sitting there, you'll always just be at that one level. You'll never be able to grow. And then, you know, business will just kind of stagnate.
Yes. And I'll speak for Minnesota. When winter comes, typically things get a little bit leaner, but there's still expenses that need to get paid. So if money isn't coming in as much or as quickly as it did in the summertime, and you have no money, well, then guess who's going to pay for that? Right? That's going to have to come out of your pocket. And at that point, then your shop rate, even though you claim you're making $50 an hour or whatever it is, it's going to drop. And I think we talked about this before, that people buy a job and all they're trying to do is stay busy. And I talked to a guy just today, wonderful, wonderful man, one of the busiest guys you'll ever see, but he's not making any money. And the reason is his whole mental business sense is to be the low guy, be a really nice guy, help the homeowner out. And then he hopes that he'll get, I don't know what he hopes, more jobs or whatever in the long run. But the reality is that homeowner is very thankful. But then the next guy, he says, oh, this guy's super, super cheap. And so then you can't charge what you should be charging. So you get stuck at a certain level.
I can sit at home on my couch and watch daytime soaps eating bonbons and make zero money. That's a lot less work than going out and busting my butt for zero money. I mean, see, it's a give and take all the way across the board. And these numbers will flush themselves out. If you're the low guy, you'll probably have way too much work and you won't know to, but I'm not making any money, but I'm always working. Well, then you got to bring these numbers up, bring that profit margin up. And then if you go too high, all of a sudden you're like, I have zero work. So you've got to balance that out. It's all about finding that balance. And like you said, you've got to plan for those lean times, because even in the summers in Minnesota, there's times where all of a sudden the market just decides to dry up. Everybody decides to go on vacation, whatever it is. And you've still got to cover the cost of running the business, and that money's got to come from somewhere. So it doesn't come out of that fund that you've built up. There again, it's dipping into your own personal bank account, your own savings account, to keep things afloat.
Yeah, and to go with your point, that's where closure rate, which we have a whole episode on what is a closure rate, what is a good closure rate. During COVID, people remember in 2020, all of a sudden everything took off. You couldn't get material. Everybody wanted stuff done because they're all home. My company, we were working like dogs, right? We were busted butt. We were working hard. And I'm sitting there running the numbers. Of course, that was when inflation started really going up too, if we remember. And I'm running the numbers and I'm like, man, I'm working my tail off. And I'm not seeing, you know, the bank account isn't going the same direction as the work. I mean, we're still making money, but it wasn't the same. And it dawned on me, boy, like that inflation just really snuck up on me. So it's like, I fortunately caught it after like a month. So it's like, did it hurt me? A little bit, but not horribly. But that's also where you got to stay in tune to your numbers. But then I had to adjust my rates accordingly. And that's where a lot of guys get in trouble, as they start at a certain rate and they're just afraid to raise it.
The inflation, that's one of those sneaky things that just eats away at your profit margin. And if you don't catch it, all of a sudden, everything you just said, you're not making the money you were, and going, well, wait a second. And then if you let it go too long, then you're playing catch up again and you're dipping back into that nest egg to cover, you know, the day-to-day expenses, which you shouldn't be, which is great that you have that nest egg to do that, because then you can keep the business afloat while you adjust your numbers back up to start covering those costs again. And that's a smart way to do business. And again, one of the many, many things that, you know, we could do another full episode probably just on the hidden costs of running a business that are in there that you have to account for, that's where that $105 in that one bedroom, that's where those profits go to cover those little things that you don't always catch right away.
Yes. And I was talking to a guy just today on Facebook, and we just posted our episode on the need to make sure that you mark up your paint prices and buy in bulk. And he was super nice, but like, oh, well, you know, he felt it was dishonest to charge someone more than what he paid. So he didn't obviously watch our episode. He just commented on it, which that's fine. Still appreciated the comment. But the reality of the situation is, you know, what are you doing? And I asked him, like, well, then how do you compensate? He's like, well, I just raised my dollar per hour. And I'm just like, you know, that's a tomato, tomato thing. So now you're fluffing up this number so that you can keep this number low. I mean, to me, if you want to talk dishonesty, that's more dishonest than saying, I charge X amount of dollars for this and I charge X amount of dollars for that. But whatever works for you, again, wonderful guy, but there's easier ways to do it. This is why we're presenting it to you.
To that point, at the end of the day, whether you charge more for labor or you charge more for paint, the number comes out to be the same at the end of the day, which that's what your clients see, is that final number. Does it really matter where that fluff is?
And that's the thing. But, you know, quite honestly, it's like, you need to know where your money's going, right? So we're going to take the $50 an hour. Let's just say this guy's like, well, I charge 65. So he's got an extra $15, you know, woohoo for him, which that's wonderful, right? The reality is you're not at 65. Are you even at 50? That becomes the question. And the truth is he doesn't know. He isn't obviously doing his numbers. So what we're trying to get across is you have to at least know your numbers.
If you don't know the numbers, then you're just out there twisting in the wind and making it up as you go along, which, yeah, it works for a while, but eventually it is going to catch up with you. Like we said, there's more topics here than we can cover in this one episode. So we've got more episodes coming up The next one we're going to talk about is estimating, writing a proper estimate that will, again, break down all these costs again and cover any other ancillary things that you discuss with the homeowner, and have that all written up in a nice, neat package so that you've got your information, the homeowner has your information, they can evaluate it, and then when you walk on that job site, you know exactly what you're doing.
Yes, and it's what the homeowner truly needs to know versus what you already know. And it's surprising, there's a difference though. It's not dishonesty, it's just why give someone a whole bunch of extra information that they don't need, and it's just going to go over their head. So, and then they care about the number. That's what they care about. I want a certain number, and I want you to do a good job. That's what they want, and we'll talk about that next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Brennan.
As always, thank you for watching, and don't forget to like and subscribe.